Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, March 24th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with me some excellent panelists for our Friday roundtable this week. And I have a very pertinent topic. People argue so much lately in the independent media. What's relevant to discuss and what's not? What's misdirection? Well, the topic I have for the panel today is probably the most important. It would have to be the most important topic for the future of the world, for that matter. And that is the Judaic agenda of white genocide. And I only have two panelists, and because I also have a lot of Jews joining in the form of quotes of their own words that we're going to hear. But without further ado, I have William Repilum. Welcome, William.
Hey, Richard. Yeah, thanks. It was good to be here again on Friday in your roundtable. Thanks for having me.
Yes, no, always an honor to have you joining. I also have none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Paul in California. Paul, welcome. Glad you could be here. I heard you had a court date today. Is that still underway? Anything exciting to report? Did you get to give any lectures?
Yes, I did not... Actually, I'm in the parking lot, and I've got to go. The guy was about to give me a ticket, and he says, "Are you leaving?" And I said, "Yes." Anyway, glad to be here today, Richard. Thank you for your kind introduction, as usual. And I'll have you know in the audience as well that I have it on good authority that in addition to being an anti-Semite, William Repilum is a rabid narcissist. So just so we know that going on.
Thanks. Good to tip off the listeners there. Indeed. And, well, you know, this is seriously, I mean, going to make or break the future of humanity as far as the planet and other life forms. You know, maybe the octopus and dolphin will still thrive. But if you take out the white people and the advances in the sort of high trust societies, inventiveness, individuality that they have been at the leading edge of, you're going to see everything go downhill. And I really don't find that to be an understatement. And that's not hate speech whatsoever. It's love speech for humanity and wanting to allow it to continue by looking at the science of nature. And that's my way of putting it. And I have a lot of good quotes here. I want to hear your feedback, gentlemen. So I want to move right along. But Haiti, you know, because I also have a couple memes I saw lying around. And Haiti is a great example in this meme I was looking at. And I don't remember, it was years ago I first saved it. But we had all whites murdered. And this was, what, going back a couple hundred years ago. And now... for what, the past 200 years or more since, I mean, people have been living in their own filth in Haiti, just as one example. And there are so many others. See, Zimbabwe is a great example. I was recalling how they wanted to get rid of all white people, and then they wanted them to return because of the way things were going. But who put it in their heads in the first place? Did they come up with it on their own in a lot of these cases to get rid of whites? Or was someone whispering in their ear and rubbing their hands together? I have the article from 2011, Australia. White nationalism, a scourge that won't go away. Israel's Jewish essence is non-negotiable, as far as Israel's concerned. A response to this Mahmoud Abbas. Okay, because... they were saying send African migrants to Australia is the solution to these African migrants in Israel. and this was 2011, their plan they had was sending them to Australia. The Likud MP, an Australian MP, discussed a quote-unquote humane solution for thousands of Muslim infiltrators in Israel. Send them to live down under. Quote, the arrival of thousands of Muslim infiltrators to Israel, Israeli territory, is a clear threat to the state's Jewish identity, unquote. That was from Dannon, Danny Dannon, that is, he told the Jerusalem Post. Quote, the refugees' place is not among us, and the initiative to transfer them to Australia is the right and just solution. On the one hand, it treats the refugees and migrants in a humane way. On the other hand, it does not threaten Israel's future and our goal to maintain a clear and solid Jewish majority, unquote, he explained. And now here, this quote from the editor of the Australian Jewish Democrat publication. This is about 2011, folks. Quote, the strengthening of multicultural or diverse Australia is also our most effective insurance policy against anti-Semitism. The day Australia has a Chinese Australian governor general, I would be more confident of my freedom to live as a Jewish Australian. And this quote was from Miriam Fain, the editor of Australian Jewish Democrat publication. So we're going to move on here to, well, you've heard this one played on the air many times, on my show recently even, but Barbara Lerner Spector. She's an American, and she started living in Sweden. Founder of PAIDEIA, P-A-I-D-E-I-A, the organization, European Jewish Fund in Sweden, is what it is. Barbara Lerner Spector, for those who aren't aware, and quote, she is quoted, I think there is a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we are going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. Okay. And now let's move along to Rabbi Aharon Haviv at the World Jewish Congress Summit 2011. The homogeneity of European nations is fundamentally against the interests of the Jewish people. We are at a critical turning point in history. The West is becoming more and more racially diverse, and soon the white race will be forced into submission. The future of the West is that of an ethnically diverse melting pot, where the evil divisions of race and white supremacy no longer reign. This is all thanks to the tremendous power of our social movements and institutions. This great change will be catalyzed by Muslim settlement. From the land of Israel, Jews will forever be a light unto the new monoracial world as guaranteed by God. And again, that was Rabbi Aharon Haviv at the World Jewish Congress Summit in 2011. Now we have, perhaps you'll recall quite a few of these. You've encountered some of you folks. We have Thomas P.M. Barnett, Jew. He's a Jew and director of the Israeli Military Consultancy, Wikistrat, in his book, The Pentagon's New Map, and this was in 2004. Quote, and again, this is Jews explaining why they bring millions of Muslims and African immigrants into Europe, folks. The ultimate goal is the forcible coordination of all countries of the world. That shall be achieved by mixing the races with the goal to create a light brown race in Europe. For that reason, 1.5 million immigrants from the third world shall migrate to Europe every year. The result would be a population with an average IQ of 90 that is so dumb to grasp anything, but intelligent enough to work. The European countries would never again be competitors in the struggle for global domination, and a multiple millennia-old culture would be destroyed. Irrational people who will fight against this quote-unquote mingling of races and put up any resistance against the global world order should be killed, unquote. And that is, again, Thomas P.M. Barnett, a Jew, director of the Israeli military consultancy, and Wikistrat, you can do a search for, in his book, The Pentagon's New Map, 2004. I'm moving right along here. All right, this is a good one. In October 2001, Jewish supremacist Stefan Steinlein published a paper entitled The Jewish Stake in America's Changing Demography, Reconsidering a Misguided Immigration Policy. In the paper, which is freely available online, Steinlein admitted that the Jews have been behind the United States' mass immigration, open borders policy, with the express intent of reducing white Americans to a minority. However, Steinlein proposes to his fellow Jews that America's demographic transformation is happening too quickly. The problem, Steinlein says, is that too quick of a transformation to a non-white majority is a threat to Jewish power. Steinlein says that the source of Jewish power in America is white guilt over the Holocaust, and that this is how they have been able to reign supreme. Steinlein is worried that if whites become a minority too quickly, the new majority of color will no longer have any connection to or feel any guilt for the Holocaust. He is worried that the new non-white majority will no longer want to give the Jews special privileges, and that they will no longer want to support the state of Israel. Therefore, Steinlein proposes that non-white immigration must be drastically reduced to manageable levels, which will give the Jews more time to brainwash the newcomers with Jewish propaganda. Steinlein specifically mentions the need to reduce Hispanic and Muslim immigration. Steinlein is also concerned that the speed of the demographic transformation is angering white Americans. He is afraid that if the Jews do not slow down the flood of immigration, whites will become increasingly racially conscious, and there will be a violent backlash against the Jews. By reducing immigration, the Jews can pacify whites. He also proposes another tool to prevent white solidarity: a revival of American patriotism. Civic nationalism must be revived so that loyalty to America will outweigh any ethnic loyalties among the Gentile populace. In the end, Steinlein says a white minority in America is still the goal, but the Jews must do it more gradually. Just for you to keep aware, folks, of all of the different factions out there pushing and pulling to what they find the best approach, not always agreeing with each other. So is there one Jewish head of the snake? There are many. When you keep in mind a lot of these disagreements amongst their tribal cult. And now let's go to Count Richard von Klodenhalv-Kolergi. He was the founder and president for 49 years of the Pan-European Union, the forerunner of the EU. In his 1925 book, Praktischer Idealismus, butchered that, he says this, quote, "The man of the future will be mixed race. The European Negroid, that's European-Negroid, race of the future will replace the diversity of peoples. Russian, Jewish, in parentheses, Bolshevism constitutes a decisive step towards this purpose, where a small group of communists spiritual aristocrats, that's right, communist spiritual aristocrats govern the country. The general staff of both are recruited from Europe's spiritual leader race, the Jews. In 1950, Fraudenhove Kalergi was awarded the very first Charlemagne Prize. Subsequent winners have included Winston Churchill, Edward Heath, Bill Clinton, Henry Kissinger, and Tony Blair. Of mixed race, Asian and European himself, two of his three wives were Jews. And now we have Israel communist Israel Cohen. In March 1957, a letter to the editor of the Washington Star, quote, "We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause." Again, that was Jewish communist Israel Cohen, March 1957, letter to the editor of the Washington Star. And now, I had referenced this one recently on the air. I didn't have it handy. I looked it up in my files. This is a really good quote, okay, from Maurice Samuel. All right, this is taken from his book, You Gentiles, page 155. Maurice Samuel, quote, "We Jews, we are the destroyers and will remain the destroyers. Nothing you can do will meet our demands and needs. We will forever destroy because we want a world of our own," unquote. And I won't get to this before the break, but I have a nice list of quotes from the Jewish Talmud that we could go get into. But first, I'm going to have the break, and then we'll hear a bit from our panel. Actually, we have a minute now. William, did you catch most of that with your connections? Do you have something to initially state? And we could carry it over after the break. All right, well, we'll see. Well, there he is. Okay, well.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, there you are, William.
Oh, did you just ask me something?
But yeah, no, did you catch most of those
yeah,
quotes?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I got dropped, though, for a couple seconds, so I just come back on there.
I tried to put it in a good order, too, that I arranged the other night.
Most of those I'm familiar with.
Great.
And I'd love it if you could send them over to us. That's a great that you read those all off. Well, my thought was we need to get something printed. I'll donate as much. I'd be happy to donate some money to get some pamphlets put together to start sending out mailers to people.
Great idea.
That's my idea.
I love that idea, William. Yeah, let's work on that together and keep that in the works. We'll be right back, folks.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with William Repillum and Paul in California. And again, I do have some other quotes I might try to get to, some interesting quotes from the Jewish Talmud, some choice selections, but I definitely want to hear from the panel. So yeah, let's start with William. You started before the break, but please.
Yeah. I think it'd be easy, I want to get the Stephen Steinlight quote specifically, and I don't know how long it is, but in one page or something, you get all on one page and print out a whole bunch of them and distribute them somehow make them into mailers or something, put them on, people's porches. Oh, wait a minute. The Jews outlawed that. You can't print out their publications, their own publications that they created. If you, a non-Jew, prints out their publications and goes around and distributes it places, then you're guilty of terrorism. You're guilty of terrorism. So it's really interesting to know how the Jew brain operates. You're guilty of terrorism because you tried to expose what these Jewish criminals are doing. Well, okay, how are we going to get around that one now? Well, if you're in Georgia or Florida, you're out of luck, right? Because they've just passed bills. Wait, did those bills pass there or did they get stymied? I don't know. But the last I knew, they were floating through Congress in their state legislatures, those anti-Semitism bills. So, they've already got that stuff over in England, and they got it in different countries. They're trying to do that here. Now, the Jew has to force everyone, it takes so much force for the Jew to exist. It takes so much force. There's no actual real power there. It all comes from force. It's just like the dollar. You know, what backs the dollar? Force. You know, military force at this point. There's no gold backing for it. You know, it's exactly analogous to how they maintain their power with every single aspect of what they maintain. And just imagine the kind of paranoia that it takes for them to be just, you know, and that it takes for them to just exist. You know, that it's just staggering. Let me kick it back to you guys.
No, those all are good points. And Paul has been on. I'm not sure if he can contribute yet, though. Paul, hello. Are you there? Are you able to add a point now or after the bottom of the hour?
Did you just actually say you're not sure if I can contribute? Wow.
I didn't know how tied up you were. You were multitasking. I know you had a
I'm not
a court
tied
date.
Up. I'm just listening to you read all this stuff, and it's like, okay, so first of all, before I say anything, let me let everybody know I am a federal agent. My federal ID is 666-6666, and my handler is Jonathan Greenblatt. So now that I've said that, I can feel free to Fed post because everybody knows that's what I'm doing since I am a federal agent. You know, I'm just so sick of this shit. I'm sorry. I can't take it. I don't care what these Jews say. I don't care what they write. I don't care what they do. None of it's going to matter. And there is going to be a violence directed towards them. And it can't come soon enough. And there's no amount of legislation they can pass to stop it, in my opinion. And by the way, William, those bills are not law, and they likely will not become law in the form that they wish they would. And they more than likely, I'm certain of this, they won't withstand any kind of a court challenge. And to your mention of the fact that it takes force to keep the dollar, actually, that really is what's known as the dollar as the reserve currency or the petrodollar. That has been and can be enforced militarily on other countries. But what makes the dollar viable here is just by virtue of established practice and acceptance. I mean, we do have legal tender laws, but they're not necessary because nobody's going to trade in anything other than dollars for the moment. Although, of course, banks should be allowed to issue their own currencies and have competing currencies. We had that one time in this country. But anyway, that's a little bit of diversion. But again, what can be said about all these quotes, really? I mean, what you've heard me say stuff over the years. I could be more explicit, but I don't really need to be.
Well, I think a lot of people are always new to a lot of these radio stations, streams, podcasts, everything out there. And, you know, you're always getting a new flock or people who haven't been fully convinced. And I think it's good to continue providing the information.
Sorry, I just think that's more of a wish than a reality. But, you know, you're entitled to believe it.
Okay, well, we need to, you know, get a resurgence in, a variety of newcomers to the platforms.
I think there's a tremendous homogeneity. That was the word you were using a little bit earlier that you struggled with the proper pronunciation. I think there's a tremendous homogeneity in the RBN audience, just like there is in so much of the alternative media. That's why I support the kind of thing that Handsome Truth and his crew does, put it in people's faces. That's where really what needs to be happened. This needs to be put in people's faces over and over.
Great point. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my co-hosts today on the panel, Paul in California and William Repillum. And Paul, before the break, you made a lot of good points, and you were, well, you know, some people have even tried to blame this. The recent activism in Florida regarding free speech and Jewish power. You mentioned Handsome Truth. You were just part of a discussion with him, a broadcast yesterday, actually. And yeah, some people are blaming him for these new anti-Semitism laws in, that are going to come before DeSantis' desk, these so-called new anti-Semitism state laws there. And you mentioned some of the other states, what, Georgia, I think Tennessee, and a couple others, perhaps. But we had, some things that this group was doing, Goyim Defense League. They're passing out flyers. Oh, the horror, free speech.
The GDL. And the GDL, in my opinion, has just as much legitimacy as the ADL. And in my opinion, and people could disagree with me if they want, I don't care. I think it's a good thing the more laws they pass. I think it just makes it more obvious. Let them pass laws. I don't care if they pass a law in every single state and every single city. Okay, how many people is it really going to affect? How many people actually hand out flyers? And to what extent do the flyers really do any good? I mean, the normies, in many cases, are never going to wake up. It's a gradual process. It's a journey that, in many cases, you have to begin on your own, of your own initiative, the way that William did. He was prompted in some way, probably, the way that I did, the way that you did, Richard. You had a little bit of a prompt, a little bit of a glimmer, and then you started down the trail. Most people are not going to do that, so... You know, the flyering thing is good. I like it, and I think that it's a necessary part of a movement. But I don't fear any laws. They can pass all the laws they want. It just makes it more obvious what the validity of our cause. Thanks.
Well, I want to hear from William in response to that. But on a side note, the same group we're talking about with the Flyers in Florida has had a lot of attention recently. GDL, Gilliam Defense League. They are also the ones you may have heard of, listeners, who have been doing laser projections on the sides of buildings and had a lot of both attention, response, and pushback, but a lot of positive. They have the impression reaching of individuals from feedback. William, so there are people with different views out there. I mean, even on the flyer thing, it seems here our panelists, but we want to hear everyone's opinion. And William, I don't know, how would you respond to what Paul was just saying?
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there that feel atomized and they feel like they need some kind of a larger group to consolidate and keep pushing for we'll have some teeth, and we have to keep strategizing and coming up with the little micro ideas that we do, such as the one I just came up with, which is not really my idea. I mean, it's pretty much, you're right, it's the GDL. They've sort of taken the lead on distributing the flyers. I think, we have to be, to a certain degree, kind of careful in the language that we use. If all we're doing is distributing the flyers that have the publications, that's all we really need to do. If we're trying to wake up the normies, we got to avoid, words like kike or the N-word, all that stuff. That won't help. Those words have a very negative connotation to the normie. So if a normie just reads a publication by a Jew and then the Jew wants to throw you in jail for doing that, yeah, Paul's right. To make more laws about it. And when it comes out in court, people are going to see what the heck, they're just repeating what the Jew already said. So, with notwithstanding all the corruption that exists throughout the whole system, that truth will stand on its own.
And the most well-known of those laser projection messages that I have been aware of was, but recently they had one, they were projecting on different buildings, Kanye was right about the Jews. Okay, let's toss it back to Paul. This is a good brainstorm dialogue, and it's good for people to hear all this, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any need to restate my position. Again, there's right. This tremendous rising tide of awareness. I think that it's palpable. There's an undercurrent, if that's a good word, that has been building, and now it's becoming, in my opinion, a rising tide. More and more people are aware. I have been talking about this for a very long time, and I think COVID hastened the, the acceptance of this kind of talk. I often, when I was trying to make people aware of the hoax, the virus hoax, the COVID hoax, the everything else, the hoax of the so-called lockdowns, the mask requirements, the mask mandates, the legal fraud, the hoax they were, I used the word Jew as an adjective all the time, and I rarely got resistance. Every now and then somebody would, take it the wrong way, but there's really only one way to take it. I mean, that's who's behind it. It's not the Presbyterians, okay? It's not the Pennsylvania Dutch. We all know it.
William?
I remember there was somebody I had talked to in my area, my neighborhood, and I told this person about the Jews, and the first thing she does is like ask me how I feel about blacks. So, they instantly go into that whole racism thing and, persecuted poor Jews. And so then if you're racist against Jews, then you must be racist against blacks. And it turned out that they had a personal, like a family member that was half black and all this. And, you know, I think I said something like, well, you know, I like having our neighborhoods that are predominantly white. And, you know, I think we have a right to have that. And ever since that happened, this person is just sort of like, eh, yeah. So they obviously weren't in any way prepared. Their mind was already just kind of formulated around this other narrative. So finding very, very, I guess, developing the tactics on how we kind of introduce to people, we have to be skilled at it. You know, we have to keep developing that skill. And, you know, it's just something we have to keep doing. Just like the Jew has used a crowbar to pry open our borders and they'll spend decades doing it. We have to use the same persistence, the same kind of perseverance. We just have to keep doing what we're doing. And I'm going to go back to the Flyers again. And, you know, don't hold me to this, but I'm going to myself, I think I'm going to find a way to support somehow. I'm not saying I'm going to do it because I'm not going to announce that because, you know, obviously it's illegal. But getting the Flyers out there is going to be an imperative here.
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting to note, I just had this thought as you were talking of this word, racism. I mean, it's really kind of, I don't want to give them credit for being clever, you know, but, you know, the thing is, it's just a ridiculously insidious thing. They just took the word race, right? Race exists. The reason race exists is because people exist, races exist. So they just took a word which already existed, they just added ism to it, and it doesn't really do anything. What does it convey? It's like, okay, cars. So cars exist, so what, are you going to carism now? You know, oh, you're a carist. It's ridiculous, right? Carism. You know, yeah, we have preferences for some cars. It's, by the way, some cars are more reliable and more dependable and more useful than other cars. How about that?
Especially those racist German BMWs. Oh, man.
Also, the way people have been indoctrinated. Oh, go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead. The way people have been indoctrinated, you started.
Toward only seeing eugenics as a black or white sort of thing, just really just is all negative. And, you know, from American and German people at the early 20th century, and they're not able to see it, just like the word propaganda, as being relatively neutral. I mean, dysgenics, you know, is more what we're seeing with the Kalergi plan and what Bill Gates seems to be doing, and the Rockefeller family, and as far as their intentions, so maybe they think for their inbreeding of their elites, they seem to not see that as dysgenic, but that really, really strengthens the psychopathy, I think, in the genetics. So, go ahead, Paul.
Well, so I was just going to just branch a little bit on this and, you know, talk about a personal experience I recently had. But, yeah, we all know what we like. We all know who it is we like to look at and who does not really please us. In other words, what is not and who is not pleasing to the eye, okay? It's just a normal, natural thing, right? And what I see out here in California, okay, which is ground zero, in my opinion, especially the Bay Area, by far the, quote, most diverse area in California and probably in the country, I would imagine. And it's not pleasing to the eye. And it's just not the way that they look, okay? They're different in their nature and their personality. I mean, it's palpable. People have a vibe. They give off an energy, okay? And they also have what's, you know, known as social skills. So whether or not they speak the language or speak the language well and or they are first generation, so on and so forth, in the end, there's no escaping the racial nature that we have all inherited. And what these people, the Presbyterians, want us to believe is that, oh, we're all the same. It's just skin color or it's just diversity. And there's no bigger lie. And our interactions with these people, if you've ever dealt with them, done business with them, or just been around, we all probably can tell stories about how it is they're just a little different. They don't have that same, shall we say, ease of dealing with and ease of life and social skills as civil, polite, well-behaved white people. They just do not. and there's no getting around that, and there's going to be, in my opinion, a reaction sooner or later. There has to be. Well, I don't know if there will be, but I want there to be one. Let's put it that way.
And we were having a good private conversation yesterday, Paul, referring to our friend, our good Indian friend, Giant Bhandari, and that he's walking proof, having lived it, of the caste system and the shades of skin indicate a lot of qualities. And there's just no denying it in a where you have all every shade of person in India in their caste system, and how people like Giant and completely in support of the caste system is necessary, and kind of really what nature kind of has had all along.
And by the way, it's worth pointing out to listeners who have not seen a picture of this, your friend and your guest, Giant Bhandari, but he indeed looks essentially like a Caucasian with a good tan. You could see some of the Indian features in him, but for the most part, he really does look like predominantly a Caucasian person with, you know, a little bit of a, like I said, an Indian tint to him. But it's worth mentioning quickly, too, and I think I've done it before, but it's just one of those things in life. You know, there's a correlation. There's not causation, which is a different thing, but there's a correlation between fairness of skin and overall desirable characteristics such as, economic success and also behavior in terms of less criminality. There can be no doubt. I mean, it's right there in the statistics as far as both crime and academic performance. Lighter-skinned people such as whites and Asians outperform darker-skinned people such as browns and blacks, academics, and also in the criminal justice system. You know, it's just one of those things. It's an indication. It's sort of like the paint job on a car is doesn't make the car, but the emblem on the hood is an indication of what you have. You know? So the skin color is an indication of what you most likely have, with exceptions. But of course, exceptions don't make the rule.
Let's go to the phones. We have a caller, Sherry in Kansas. Hey, welcome, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I've got another one for William's list. Unfortunately, I don't remember the lady's name, but I believe I've heard the clip a few times on RBN. Maybe this will ring a bell. I believe the interview is on Democracy Now, and she actually admitted that the Holocaust is something we do to essentially to get sympathy.
Thank you. That is a great one, and I'll track that down. I've heard it, and that's a powerful one to have in our compilation.
Is that where she says, it's a trick. It's a trick we use. We use it every time, you know, if in Europe, if they say anything about Jews, we say Holocaust. If it's in America, then we say anti-Semitism.
I recall a male Jew likewise confessing a similar remark. So we'll have to track those two down to ask. Thank you so much.
But yeah, is that who you're talking about?
Thanks. Great, Sherry. Okay.
Okay.
Well, William, would you like to add something?
Well, I wanted to confirm with her that that's what she was talking about, and I'm really frustrated because every pen that I'm trying to use right now doesn't work. So I can't write anything down. So I'm just going to slam the pens down on the table.
Well, there's always the archive. You can always check the archive for whatever.
Oh, that's a pain, too. I've got to write it down on my little piece of paper. Every single pen, I've got like 8 of them. They're all going in the trash can right now.
It looks like I won't have time to get to these. I think that was great, the ones I included today. Those two, though, would be good for me to add in future when I do this sort of thing. But I'll have to save for another time these quotes from the Jewish Talmud. Who knows? Maybe I'll extract a bit from them on air tomorrow. I'm filling in for Farron Shoaf, who is still on hiatus. So if you folks want to tune in tomorrow, I have William here and Paul are going to be there. Gregory McGill will be there as well. An early update. This Tuesday we have Gerhard Lauck, who's coming back on again, and we'll see if even announcing it doesn't allow the powers that be to interfere. But also, we're going to have another special guest this Tuesday. We're supposed to have Jay Hess, co-host of Stormfront, coming on as well with Gerhard. So that should be an interesting Tuesday for Paul and I. But okay, sure. We'll skip the break, Mike. Let's go toss it back to Paul. Paul, what else would you like to add after everything that's been said here today?
Well, nothing at the moment. We don't have any more callers right now.
No. We just had Sherry. I mean, people are probably blown away by the quotes, or they don't want to have their voice print associated with this show. Who knows?
Okay. So I'll just tell my little story from yesterday. And this is what I would call somewhat typical interaction with these people. So all the liquor stores, you know, as well as mini markets around here owned by what we offensive racists refer to as Pajits, okay? Pajits meaning Indians, Pakistanis, whatever, okay? Occasionally we get some Arabs, but for the most part. So I just go into this liquor store yesterday. I'm just going to buy something to drink. I'm not sure. It's non-alcoholic. I just want to grab something. And so I see this these bottles, and it's from some Australian drink. It looks like it's maybe new on the market. I don't recall seeing it before. And I just pick it up. I take it to the counter. It's like some kind of orange-flavored, you know, whatever, right? And I put it on the counter, and he scans it, right? He doesn't say anything, but on the shelf it said $1.99, okay? So I pull out $2, and I got some change because out here in California they got this scam, CRV, right, where they add, you know, like 5 cents or whatever to all these little containers. So he goes over to the other register and starts looking at something, and then I see him looking at the tape, and literally like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and more goes by. He doesn't say anything, right? There's two registers. He's there by himself, which is typical of this store anyway. And I go, hey, dude, I'm ready to buy this. I got the money. What's up? How much does it cost? He goes, oh, that's what I'm looking at. Now, literally more than a minute had gone by. I hadn't said anything. I go, well, it's normal to articulate to somebody what you're doing, such as, be with you in a moment, sir. I'm not sure on the price, or it's not scanning properly, etc. Right. You let somebody know.
There's I see we have a caller now. And... go ahead.
Well, you don't want to interrupt my story to tell me there's a caller. Okay, take the caller.
All right, I'm sorry, Paul. You were mentioning the story because you heard me say there weren't calls. But no, finish. If you want to finish the story, the point of it, I was saying, I was just letting you know that we now have someone in queue. Now we lost Paul. Okay, we insulted Paul. Okay. Well, we have Dan in Washington. Dan, hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Sorry, I didn't mean to start drama and call it in there. The Steinlight plan, do you guys think, I'm starting to think the more woke it is, the better. Like, I was watching MSNBC, MSLSD, and it's gotten so obviously just almost satanically white and pushing tranny stuff. And, I'm afraid of the Steinlight plan. Like, if Trump got in and white America thought, you know, it started going for the civic nationalism stuff. It's almost more harmful for our cause. It's better to have everything extremely woke, and you can wake up more people that way. What do you guys think about that?
William? Yeah, oh, William, do you want to respond?
You know, these don't need to be mutually exclusive movements. You can have them all going on at the same time, you know. I don't know. I can't predict the future. But yeah, definitely that alludes to kind of, you know, with people going, what is going on with this thing? The same, I think, is going to happen if we send out flyers just that say what the Jews already are saying. We don't put anything of our own even words on it. We just go, okay, here's a publication of what the Jews were saying. You don't know them because they've never been brought to your awareness. So, yeah, it's all about things being brought to your awareness.
All right. Well, anything else, Ken?
I just got kind of freaked out. I got Trump derangement syndrome, like his last year, like after he killed Soleimani, and seeing all these white people thinking that Trump was helping them, and, you know, USA, 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 and it's just like, I don't know. So it's almost better. I'm more of an accelerationist at this point. I don't see really saving it. And the good thing about America, it's so big. If you just chop off the Los Angeles area and, like, half of Texas, whites would still be a pretty huge majority. So I'm kind of got to that point, too. You know, as far as saving the borders that exist today, I'm not hugely concerned about, say, like, the Los Angeles area. So, I get less depressed when I think that way. So, you know, anyway.
Right. Yeah, we shouldn't put all our eggs in one basket, but we should see how that's the same being true for our opposition. And that, yeah, these strategies, including what they're saying about the civic nationalist patriot movement revivals and, you know, strengthening, they, you know, they love that. And then you think about all these people who have such Zionist ties, like, you know, Trump and DeSantis, who are these strongest figures that wind up in front of us. And you definitely just want to be aware of all that and not put all your, all your eggs in one strategy basket, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. I'm afraid if Trump got elected, it'd be like immediate war with Iran. I don't know. It seems like Biden's doing a pretty good job at just dismantling the empire right now. So, I don't know. Anyway, and real quick, William, on White Rabbit Radio, the talking points, use those when you're dealing with normies. The talking points. You know, diversity equals white genocide. Radio. Yeah, the mantra. Okay. The mantra. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Yeah. No, good points. Yeah, thanks, Ken. All right, well, thank you, Paul. You know, sorry about that. Thank you, William.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes, sir. And thanks to the listeners. Please support the station, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.